see, Deuteronomy chapter 4, we'll start there. And it's not really tied to this morning too much, other than it spins off a little bit because of people have so many mixed messages, and so many people don't believe in God, in the Creator. And I get this question a lot as a pastor. And I think I've answered this before to the church, but they say, James, you know, if you're raised in China and you don't know about Jesus, or you're raised in Iraq and you've not heard about, you know, Jesus, what about that? They die and go to hell? We'll talk tonight about what the Word of God says and what God did to show Himself. What happens is God is continually showing Himself, but man is just closing their eyes. If man could open their eyes as hard as they close their eyes, they would see God as who He is. It's like I told the guy I went and sat in jail a few months ago, and I shared that he you know, gave his heart to the Lord. He said he went to jail, and I was talking to him through the little window there, and he says that he didn't believe. So I really don't believe. You know, I mean, I know there's something probably. I just don't really know what it is. I don't believe. Well, I'm not going to try to beat Jesus into him because he don't believe. I mean, it ain't going to help me, you know, beating Jesus into him. Here's what I told him. I said, do me a favor. Pray. If you believe in something bigger than you, he goes, well, I believe in something bigger. I just really don't know what it is. I said, pray. And ask that bigger something to show you truth. Just pray. Say, God, whoever, I need to know truth. I believe in something. I'm not sure what. But show me yourself. And that's what I told him. That's the counsel I gave him. And he actually came here one Sunday morning about a month ago and told me that he had accepted Jesus, which is wonderful. See, God's Word is faithful and true. And the Word says that if we will seek, we'll find. If we'll knock, it'll be opened. So the Bible is clear. Call upon the Lord, He'll show up. But we have to call out. Look what Deuteronomy 4:29 says. But if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, you shall find Him. If you seek Him with all your heart and with all your soul. See, we will find God if we seek Him, if we ask for Him, and quit trying to reject and not believe. It's easy, you know, to me it's easier to believe than not to believe. I mean, look around. Look at all that God has done. All He has created is a marker for us. Why have they never got to the end of space and they never will? Because God made it forever. We can't measure forever. You know, we use that term a lot, right? Had to wait in line forever. No, you didn't. That preacher went on forever. No, I didn't. You know, we use that word real loose. But space is truly forever. Did you know that only about, I think it's about 1,000 years ago, scientists swore that Earth was the center of the universe? And they have since found out that it's not the center of the universe. 500 years ago, people swore the Earth was flat. Can you imagine being at Myrtle Beach? Rodney standing at his toes in the water and sees a ship go off. Then all of a sudden, just, it's gone. Told that fella not to try it. They do it every time. Fall right off. People thought the Earth was flat. Oh, that's my phone. I'm sorry. Will you grab that and turn it off? I don't know why they ain't in church. Well, I don't know. And so we've gained knowledge and we've seen, you know, there was things we were ignorant to before truth was revealed. Well, the same way spiritually. You know, I think about the true atheist, not the one that says they are to be cool. I'm talking about the real atheist that truly says, I don't believe in nothing. There is nothing but me. And they're like defiant about it. I don't even understand how a person operates that way. If there's nothing to believe in, why are they against it? It don't make any sense. And for that person that says there is no God, look around. He's undeniable. He showed off. We were looking at the moon the other night, or
I was. Melanie's eventually, I was down in Moore's when I was looking up. I said, man, look at that moon. And you could actually see, you don't normally see this, but there was like a round shadow around it. It was so cool. It just looked really different. And each night you see that moon, it looks different. It's big, it's different colors, it's different shapes, different sizes. Each night you see it. God created stars. Even our children learn this. I hope they learn this. I don't know if Taylor and Ashley know. Do y'all know that stars make constellations? They make shapes of animals and all kinds of stuff. So the first connect the dot was not in the fun pad at Walmart, was it? The first connect the dot was in the sky that God created. It is amazing, all the shapes of everything that God designed. Just to show off. There's a dog, there's a horse, there's a cow. Speaking of cow, I got a joke for you. Zoe talked to me this morning. Little Zoe. So I told her I would share it with the church tonight. Knock, knock. Interrupting cow. Moo. You get it? Everybody got it, right? Okay. So make sure Zoe knows I told that joke tonight, Laura. But we see all these shapes in the sky. And we see God's creation, His masterpiece. We see that sun 93 million miles away that heats and cools. And we see life in our solar system on Earth, the only planet that has it. We see other galaxies that are millions of light years away, that stars and galaxies. I mean, it's endless. It goes on and on and on. They've not found the end to it yet. How can anyone look around and say there is no God? God has showed Himself. So my point back to the one that was raised not hearing it, the point is, first verse is this. If they'll seek the Lord God, they'll find Him. So if they begin to realize there's something bigger than me, I don't know what it is, but I'm going to seek it. Did you know every human is drawn into something deeper than what they have now? We're drawn into that. That's God's nature that He has placed in us, to be drawn to something deeper and bigger and more than what we have now. I mean, even the non-believer says, I hope there's something after this. It feels like there should be something after this. Of course there's something. We were made to live and not die. We were made to live and never die. And so we have that instinct. That's why your body goes into life mode. If you cut yourself, it numbs it. You don't feel it sometimes until later, because your body goes into an immediate numbing and a healing process. It tries to repair itself. It tries to work on your behalf to give you life. Because that's how God made us. He created us to live. Go to the next scripture. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 11. He hath made everything beautiful in His time. Also, He has set the world in their hearts, so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. God has placed something in our hearts, and we can't even find the end of it, but it's something eternal. It's something infinite. It's something deep. It's something great and vast that He put in our hearts. God put in our hearts to search for truth. The problem is people reject truth. And when you reject truth, you can't receive truth at the same time. And that's what we're facing, a rejection of truth. Justifying how this is made, how this is made, how this is made. Justifying it instead of recognizing God did it. We all go on that conquest to try to find truth. And that's where so many religions have spun out. All these different crazy movements of, you know, in tune with myself and reincarnation and, you know, this and this kind of doctrine and teaching, trying to find themselves. There's a work called, you know, Zen, a yoga form of Zen, that meditation, and, you know, you get in a place of peace and a place of this, and trying to go into a different place, everything being lifted and finding that inner peace. Everybody's searching for that because we desire it. We desire peace. We desire life. We desire eternity. We don't want to die. Nobody wants to die. I mean, someone that gets in pain, or I understand that, or older, and like, you know, Lord, take me home. But I'm talking about, it's not our instinct. None of us will wake up tomorrow, I don't think, and just say, you know what, I just want to die. So, Lord, hello, I want to die.
Nobody wants that. We want to live. When you about have a car wreck, what happens? You slam on your brakes. It's real close. Your heart. And you're shaking, you know, the rest of the way trying to drive. You're like this, thinking, oh, God, I almost. And what's your words? I could have been killed. You don't want to be killed. You want to live because we like life. We don't like close calls. Somebody's got a gun on you and says, stick them up. I don't think none of us would say, stick them up yourself, punk. No, our hands are going up. We want to live. Don't try anything foolish. You understand? I got you. Yes. I want to live. I'm backing away from you. Backing away. I want to live. Our soldiers, think how many times they're afraid in those inner guts of war on the ground, turning every corner, wondering, walking those trails, wondering if an IED is going to go off at any time at their feet. They don't want to die. They want to come home alive. God has given each of us a desire to live, but not just here, a desire for something after this. Because we were created, our souls were created to live forever. But unless we accept the truth of how that happens, we can't experience it. Like Brother Roseburg said in the funeral day, taught you the verse John 14, you know, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it weren't so, I would have told you, I'd go prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also. He began to talk about how we can call, if you're a Christian, you can call God your Father. Not everyone can call God their Father. You understand that? The only reason we can call God Father is if we are in the family. And I'm in the family by the blood. I can call my God Father. Everybody can't. I've been adopted into His family as a son. And so, that's a promise we have. That Jesus prepared a place for us, that where He is, I'll be also. And it says in verse 2 there, I think in John 14, that He will come again. And then we'll be where He is at. In other words, Jesus went to prepare a place, but He didn't just leave us where we're at. He prepared a place, and the Bible says He's going to come again. And where He is, we'll be with Him. He didn't leave us on the front porch. He's got a plan to bring us to Him. The only way I can see Jesus, I can go to Him, is through the blood and Him accepting that. And when my breath on this life is over, I will see the face of God because He's my Father. I will be going home, my real home. And we all have a desire for that. Next scripture. This is where it gets good. This is Romans chapter 1. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so they are without excuse. What is this really saying? That God's creation and nature that we see and behold gives no man any excuse not to believe Him. It's too wonderful. It's too vast. Think of all the species God's created, and there's new ones still being produced. New species still coming forth. We see new planets being discovered, new moons being discovered, new stars being discovered. I mean, I could just see God. Well, they've got that patch identified. Pew, there's some more. They'll find in a couple years. Ooh, hey, George, you seen this patch? No, Fred. What's that? That wasn't there last year. Well, how'd it get there? Well, you know that atomic gas bomb went and exploded and created that. Oh, yeah, Fred, that's right. It was hand of God. Boom, it appeared and it happened. Everything is like Melon said this morning, the bumblebee. How's a big old fat bumblebee? Scientists have said they should not be able to fly. Their wings cannot support their weight. But yet they fly. That is God. Dolphins coming up and smiling at you. And talking to you. Ain't that cool? That's God. The whale with the hole in its head. Whoosh, water coming out. That's pretty funny. I mean, we see all of creation. We see crows hitting these doors every day. Bless their hearts. I'm surprised they don't get killed. I was counseling someone in my office last week, and all of a sudden, boom! Bird hit the window. But it went on. It was okay.
But I guess the windows were clean. He thought I was straight. I had the blind up, and it, boom, hit the window. Poor thing. We see all the creation from the turtles in a shell. Isn't that an amazing animal? They can go into a shell. Their little head goes in, a little claw. It's a big hard shell. The porcupine. How funny animal is that? You ever got hit by a porcupine? Well, I hadn't either, but I bet it would hurt. Them long quills. A giraffe. Talking about a necktie. Really? Look at everything God has created. The hippopotamus is the most ugliest animal in the world, but intrigues me more than any. I mean, all that we see. Zebra that's black and white stripes. Look like somebody just threw paint on it. A tiger with stripes. And I mean, you go on and on with creation. And then the depths of the oceans and the heights of the mountains. Man didn't make those things. God did those things. From the heavens to the depths of the sea, to all creation, to all things we see, man is without excuse that there is a God. It's just that we turn a deaf ear to truth and close our eyes and don't receive it. Kind of like if your boss tells you something, you keep doing it and you get fired. Ain't boss's fault, it's your fault. You didn't change. He told you truth, he didn't hear it. Kept doing what you're doing, okay. Or if a child rebels against their parent, you give them the instructions, you give them the show them the truth, and they reject it, they pay the price for that. You showed them truth. God has showed us so much truth. He has showed off in such an amazing way that people reject the truth. And like I said this morning, they believe the lie. How in the world can man possibly explain creation through just natural means? I mean, the Big Bang Theory is being taught in schools of evolution. It's an accidental bang could not create what we see. There's no way. How did everything explode and just end up like it is? It's too perfect. A designer. A God. And that God that created all of that has a kingdom he's created for us. For us to walk in. Go to the next scripture. Yep, back one. Up one. There you go. Because that, when they knew God. Now look at this. When they knew God. What does that mean? That they had an opportunity to see God. They had an opportunity to see his work and have a chance to believe. They glorified him not as God. Neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Next one's Christian. Okay. Their foolish heart was darkened. When they knew God, rejected God. When truth came, don't want truth. When God showed up, don't want God. And we see such a bitter world now. And you know what? Here, God gets such a bad rap. Because here are people tell me. I was talking to somebody the other day that doesn't believe, and they say they're an atheist, and I was trying to talk to them a little bit, and just said, I believe in me. Well, it gets you a long way believing in you, don't it? And people want to bring up, if there's a God, why is there tragedy? If there's a God, why is there sickness? If there's a God, why is there death? If there's a God, why is there hurricane, tornadoes? Well, we as seasoned Christians know the answer to all those things. We know the world's been upside down since evil was discovered by mankind. You know why there's tornadoes and hurricanes and earthquakes? I'm not a hell and doom kind of damnation preacher, but I want to tell you this. The reason all that's like that, it's because nature itself is out of rhythm and out of balance. Because not only did man's fall create man's fall, but it also affected nature. And nature's in a mess right now, waiting on the redemptive work of Christ to be complete. And in all things will be restored again. That's why even the earth itself, earthquakes are in the ocean, volcanoes erupting, tornadoes sweeping, hurricanes roaring, all of that is out of kilter, waiting on the redemption of us, the manifestation of the sons of God. And when that comes forth, everything will be right again and in order and in peace like it's supposed to be. Now, people blame God for all those things. It's not God. God made a way out.
You remember the story of the man that owed money to the king and he couldn't pay it? And he begged the king, please forgive me my debt. And the king said, had compassion, says, I forgive you of your debt. You don't owe me that money no more. Then what did he do? He went right out, found someone that owed him money, got him by the throat, says, you owe me this money. The king saw that. It's a parable. The king saw that, called that guy back in, says, didn't I forgive you of your debt? Yes, king. Then why won't you forgive him of his debt? See, it's a rejection of truth and grace, that when grace comes, we don't receive it. We don't accept it. This son had his debt paid, but all was on his mind was getting his, instead of walking in forgiveness like he'd been forgiven. Truth comes. We got a choice. We accept it or we deny it. We accept it or we reject it. But when we reject truth, there's a consequence to pay. Period. God makes himself known. He shows himself to all of us. I've had three children. I was in the birthing room for all three of my children. Saw that precious moment when life came forth. Held all three of my children in my arms within minutes after they were delivered. Yeah, they got them cleaned up and stuff. Held them in my arms. Here's these little life. Little bitty hands and fingers. Soft skin. If I could go break them. Like porcelain dolls, aren't they? And their eyes are looking at you. You know, and they're just, they're precious. They have a leg like me, just a lot shorter. An arm like me, a lot shorter. Hair on their head, a lot more. Because two of my kids, Ashley and Christian, had quite a bit of hair. Ashley was like a grizzly bear. It's like, good Lord. And you see this precious life. And you see what God did. To me, that's without excuse. God, you did this. I'm holding this life in my hands. That right there should point people to call out to God. God, I don't understand. I'm mad. I don't feel like you're a fair God, whatever. But Lord, I know that there's got to be something bigger than me. Show me who you are. Show me. So many times God tries to show himself and we just don't see it. Just like the two men walking with him on the road to Emmaus. Remember that? They were walking and talking with Jesus, had no idea who he was. You ever heard about this man that was crucified, heard about this man that rose, and heard about this man, and Jesus looked at him and said, that man was me. Wow. Didn't even know him. How many people don't know who God is and shut him out because they don't want to receive truth? We would have no hope, church, outside of the Lord. None. That brother that passed away at the funeral today was 54 years old, had cancer. And if this was all we had, this was it. Nothing left. But you know what? We know there's more than this. We know. You know, even scientists, and I don't know what you call them, people that try to track, you know, dreams and people that try to track. There's been studies done to try to track where a soul goes after it dies. Hooked up on machines, they try to track at the once one dies, what the measurements show, what happens. They can't track nothing. But you know what? They're curious enough to know it goes somewhere. Or they wouldn't be testing it. Why can't we just surrender? I say, God, why can't people just surrender? I say, God, show me who you are. I get this a lot as a pastor. God don't answer my prayers. He don't do anything for me. What's God done for me? You're not trying to even see or hear. You're not even trying. Church, he woke us up today. Breath in our bodies. There have been no tragedy in my home today. My children are well and safe and healthy. My wife is here, safe and healthy. My home is not burnt down. My pets are not dead and my cars are still here. And y'all came out tonight. And the church is still here. And we're seeing the sun. We'll see it again tomorrow by the grace of God. Life is good. Even in our tragedy and storms, life is good. The good days always outweigh the bad if we'll look to God. Always. Our blessings are always more than our cursings if we'll look unto God. Every day is new, the Bible says. His glory, his mercies are new every morning. So whatever you're battling, whatever you're going through, look unto God as the author and finisher of your faith and realize He does care for me. And He's there for me. And He loves me just like I am. Go to the next scripture. Psalms 14:1. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. Pretty strong words. The fool says there is no God. The fool says that. And we see that and we hear it. And it's hard to reach people if they don't believe. And we worry about, you know, we got to do this. God has given creation as an example to show mankind and point them. And just like I said before, every child is born with a conscience. Talking about even in sin, they have a conscience. That's why your little 3 or 4 year old starts sneaking around and doing little things it shouldn't do, maybe, or hiding stuff. You know, did you drink the last bottle of Coke? Mm-mm. Are you telling Daddy the truth? Mm-hmm. Then they might come back if they're a good kid and say, I did get it, I'm sorry. That conscience. Who put that there? God did. You know why God put a conscience in us? So we could receive truth. So we would know right from wrong, good from evil, and know the difference and choose truth. What happens to many people, they don't listen to that conscience. They ignore it, and they just keep ignoring it and ignoring it and ignoring it until it forms a calloused heart. We all know the more wrong you do, the easier it is to do it. We heard the old analogy. I've taught all my kids this. We've heard the analogy. Steal a candy bar at 10, steal a car at 18. I mean, that's just how it is. If it keeps on going, that's how it'll be. You steal something little and get away with it, you'll do it again. And you'll try something different or something more, something bigger. And before you know it, you've made a video game because you've been hot rodding so many cars. And you get in some real trouble. The more we go against truth, the more calloused we become. That's why it's important we allow God into our conscience, into our hearts. Even as Christians, we can become calloused if we're not submissive to the Holy Spirit. And that's not where God wants us. We can't fulfill God's plan if we're callous as Christians. So don't be a callous Christian. You know, don't reject truth God's trying to give you as a Christian, a direction or a truth or maybe something you need to work on in your own life. Don't reject that. That ain't me, God. That ain't me. Accept it. Just like the video we showed a few weeks ago about God's chisel. You know, where the guy's getting chiseled of all the things. And he says, here's spirit of lust. Oh, hang on now. Hang on, God. I ain't got a spirit of lust. Okay, God. Go ahead. It's so easy to deny those things instead of letting God come in and do a work in us, a creative work. God is alive and He's moving all across the world. And He's showing Himself from the rise of the sun to the setting of it. Every day, we see God's work. You can't go to the beaches or the mountains and not think of God. I mean, it's almost impossible to ride through the Blue Ridge Parkway in a fall and not know there's a God. The leaves change. Who tells them to change? God does. I know I've preached this before. It's important we understand that God's made Himself known. And the Bible's clear. There's no excuse for man not to search out their Creator. He's done so much work. That's why He's done it the way He has. To show Himself how big He is and that man can't put them in a box and measure it. There's parts of the ocean man's still not been to. Depths of the ocean. There's species still not been discovered by man. Still not been discovered yet. God ain't gonna run out of tricks. He'll keep on creating if He has to. God's a creator. And He creates in each human being a desire to seek Him. To seek something more than this. How many commercials we see about live longer, add 10 years, you know. I mean, the cosmetic surgeons now are all-time high. For men, too.
Can't you tell? For men too. Facelifts and things you shoot in your the injections, Botox, hair implants, enlargements. I mean, we're seeing all kinds of things happening. You know why? Because we want to look younger. We want to live forever. Man, if a doctor tells you, you take that pill, you'll live 10 more years. We're addicts. I'll live 10. I mean, we want to live. Why is that? It's our nature to want to live. We want to live as long as possible. It's just not in our nature to roll over and die. God, give us that. He gave it to us for a reason. So, yes, we witness and we minister the gospel and we share Jesus. And then when people start asking you, Joe Brown, they ain't no God. How can you believe in God? You can say, have you seen the mountains or the oceans or the stars or the animal world or creation? Explain that. I'm still amazed you can take a seed this big, put it in the ground, and a tree comes forth. Really think about this. These oak trees that are 100 years old, that are 30 feet, 40 feet tall, and sprawled out everywhere, it started with one tiny seed. And in that seed produced a trunk and bark and limbs and leaves and fruit or nuts or whatever in that seed. God put it all in that seed, and it produced. How can man explain that? Well, it's got the component. Yeah, but who put it there? It all goes back to God. Who put it there? It's a God design. It's not a man design. Man can't make an oak tree. It has to be from a seed that comes from God. You know, we see people trying to crossbreed animals now. You got the liger from a lion and tiger, and you got all this stuff they're trying to. But you know what? The original blueprints have to come from God. You know, I was a little boy one time, a cute, dirty-haired, blonde little boy. It's called dirty blonde, yeah. It wasn't because I didn't take a shower, just the color. And it darkened up, of course, as I got older. But I had blonde hair, like dirty blonde, light blonde hair. And I was a little boy one day, and, you know, 9 or 10 years old, half his age, riding my bike, living the dream, you know, playing stick fights with my friends and, you know, all the stuff I used to do. I grew up. And I have my own children. I reproduced. But those children that are reproduced are from me, but I'm from them, and they're from her. And if you trace it back far enough, it'll go back to the beginning, won't it? The original plan of God. One seed in the earth produced everything else. I can't take credit for my children because I'm here. Mom can't take credit for me because she's here. And grandma can't take credit for her being here because she was here. It just keeps going back to the original seed. So really think about that. And it all started with God. You know, even in the Bible, Jesus Christ of Nazareth is traced back to the seed of David. He came out of the David lineage. So it goes way, we all go way, it all was originally God. The earth was void, the Bible says, and dark, and then God spoke light. The earth was here with no form of life, just in darkness. And God spoke light, and it happened. I've said many times, God said bang, and it banged. Scientists today can still see the effects of that first explosion that created life. If you do studies, scientists say in their telescopes they can still today, I'm talking about today, 2013, can still see and know and see matter going away from us at a high rate of speed, signifying something happened a long time ago. Man, God still got it going. And it drives them crazy trying to prove their method and not include God in it. In closing, like the old joke I said before, where this smart little scientist, he was a little nerd, you know, had little glasses and a little white coat, and, you know, he was just so smart, Elliot. And he told God, I said, God, we've got so smart now. We've learned so much.
that we can create man ourselves. We don't need you. We got all of our own ingredients. We can create man apart from you. God said, okay, go ahead. So a little nerdy scientist reached down the ground and got a scoop of dirt up to start with. Because, you know, that's where man came from, right? Got a scoop of dirt up. And God says, drop that dirt, that's mine. He couldn't even start the process without God being in it. We think we're so smart. We think we've done something, but we've not. Everything goes back to God. It's undeniable. It goes back to God. You know how many asteroids float in our universe that have never, you know, hit the earth? I mean, not in our time period. Never hit the earth because of the hand of God. It's not just accident. Whew, that was a close one. No, God's in control. God's got it. God shows himself. If we'll just call on him and seek him. So tell people, look at what God's done. Don't that make you wonder? There's got to be something, right? Got to be. So, anyway, that's my message tonight. I hear so much rejection of God, that he exists, that he lives. And there's so much support for God. People's always saying, prove it, prove it. Really? I mean, think about that. People tell me that. How can you prove there's a God? Really? Look around, man. Open your eyes. Does it make any sense? There's a sun that sits 93. We can't even fathom this because we go in miles like 100 miles, 2,000 miles. That's about as far as we can go, right? 2,000 miles, about as much as we can comprehend. Here to California, 3,000 miles. 93 million miles away. And that sun is so big that we feel the heat from something 93 million miles away. You can feel the heat. I mean, think about it. You feel the heat standing in front of your oven at home. 93 million miles away, and we feel 90 degree sweat up on our brow. And it's also, we can see it. If you're like me, I'm blind as a bat without contacts. I can't see nothing. I mean, I can't see my alarm clock beside my bed without my glasses on. But I can see something 93 million miles away. I can see stars that are millions of miles. How is that possible? I mean, really? Prove it? You know what the sun is? You know, our kids draw it a little pretty circle with the little ray lines. We color it in smooth and solid, orange and yellow and all that. You know what the sun is? It's a big ball of busting gas. Don't sound too safe to me. And we're baking ourselves the beach in that thing. It's just busting gases out of the surface. It's continual explosions. It's not some sweet little orange ball hanging in the sky. It's a dangerous mechanism. If it was closer, you'd tell your kid, don't touch that. But yeah, we see it. The moon controls the tides of the ocean. That's a proven scientific fact. The gravitational pull from the moon controls the tides. And God is so exact. If you go to the beach anytime, you get charts in your hotel room that tell you high tide and low tide by the minute. On June 12th, high tide 3:12, low tide 8:16. And it changes every day. I mean, it's on a clock. And you know what? It don't mess up. I ain't been to the beach one time, and I've been a bunch of times, where I stood there at my chart at 3:16. Okay. You're late, God. It comes in, and it goes out like it's supposed to. And the moon controls that. And we wouldn't even be able to see the moon without the sun. You realize that? The only reason we see the moon is a reflection from the sun. Just like our lives, we reflect the sun as people see us. God's just too... People tell you to start proving it. How do you know? You know, how do you know there's a God? You really believe in a God? Look around. Man, how can you not believe? To me, it's a lot harder not to believe than it is to believe. God's got... I mean, it's almost like, dummy, you know the V8 commercial?
I bet God's like, really? Look, sun, stars, moon, fish, ocean, mountains, creation, life. Are you kidding me? Baboons and porcupines. What more? An elephant with a nose that sprays cars. Are you kidding me? What more do you need? A hyena. That's what they sound like. Really? Kidding me? What more proof do you need? Amazing how God works. One other fact that this I learned about creation, I never knew. Y'all may knew this. I'm a late bloomer. I learned birds, they procreate in the air flying. Did y'all know that? They procreate while flying, moving. That's pretty amazing. Tell me, God, it's shining truth all around. Amazing. Amazing. How does a cat know to go to a litter box without being told? We brought Sophie home from here to church. She was a little orphan kitty, got dropped off. She was this big. We took her home that night, went and got a cat litter box. She's just a few weeks old. We put her in a basement, and guess where she goes? Straight to the litter box. That is amazing. If only my kids would have done that when they were little. Straight to the litter box. I mean, really? It's because it's an instinct they have. And they can see spirits too, they say cats can. It freaks Christian out sometimes in the room. She'll see Sophie just staring at space. They sense things. God's just amazing. I mean, really, proof? Look around. Next time somebody challenges you on your faith, say, just give them two words, look around. Look around. I mean, really? Look around. Glory. All right. Still a little bit damp, but I'm about dried off. I'm going to show Melanie that before we leave. I want her to feel the effect of that. So the pitcher's still in the yard. I haven't got no handle. All right. Glad y'all are with us tonight. I hope you have a wonderful week. If I can get a couple of ushers tonight, we'll receive our night offering tonight. And I hope to see you all Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. Lord, we thank you for the word. We thank you that there is so much proof that you exist. Lord, just give us wisdom to be able to convey that to others and point them to what you've already created. Lord, there's so much evidence that you are real and alive and that you are a creator of all things, invisible and visible. And let us be witnesses to be able to point people to what you've already done, that they will call your name and seek out truth. God, rejection of truth leads to loss, but acceptance of truth leads to salvation. And God, let us be witnesses to point people to your truth. Bless this offering tonight and all that give, and use it for your glory. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.